You are listening to the Outsiders Comic Book Underground Podcast. Hey guys, this is the Outsiders Comic Book Underground Podcast for Monday, September 10th. I am Wade Wilberforce Alley here with
Khalil Goodman.
Mark Gibson.
And Mark, I'm having time travel issues, Ollie.
Okay, right. So, our show today, it's been out of a conversation we had earlier, but basically, apropos of nothing, is called I Have Time Travel Issues, is it?
Yes.
Right, yeah. Don't worry about it, we'll let you know later. We want to start today with some news, as we normally do. We found out today we're going to have not Catwoman. I haven't been drinking, but I'm having some issues today anyway, so let's move on. We're having a Wonder Woman show coming up soon. It's in development. Guys, you heard about that, right?
Yep. It's going to be very, very Smallville-esque, they're saying. The script is being
so bad.
I don't know, maybe Lisa Harris, if she's listening, she can back up on this on the group. But I did watch every episode of Smallville. I can't say I enjoyed them all.
You keep saying that like it's something.
I salute you, sir. Your dedication is admirable.
It was a marathon, I think.
Ulcer and masochism.
You keep saying like it's something to be proud of. I don't know why.
But I'm not surprised by this news, but they're taking the Smallville approach. So obviously Wonder Woman, Diana, Prince, or whoever is going to be stuck in some farm in the middle of nowhere or something, I don't know.
Question, is the pilot did for the last one, is that online anywhere? I can see it.
The pilot did for what, Aquaman?
No, the last Wonder Woman with the...
With Adriana Palicki that they did earlier this
maybe,
year.
You may have a search for it. I remember watching it when it came out, and let me tell you, that was...
I think she's kind of sexy, so I'd watch it based on that.
It's just kind of interesting that NBC was like, no, we're not going to do this. They made a pilot, and they're like, no, we're not going to show it. And Marvel CW said, okay, we'll do it. So I wonder what the idea behind it was.
But like Marvel said, it's going to be here on a farm, no barista.
Yeah, but still, I wonder what the pitch was. And also, we should point out that it's being written by Alan Heinberg, who has written a lot of stuff for TV, but he also wrote Wonder Woman before for the comics, so... Hmm.
Someone with some Wonder Woman background.
Yeah, somebody who knows what they're doing, I guess.
I think it's better than the last and the previous pilot attempt that was brought to you by the guy that did, was it Alan Beale?
Something like that.
You know, those kind of shows. Mm-hmm.
David Kelly.
Yeah, David Kelly, that's the name. I think it's a good idea to have someone with some actual familiarity to the character, being the one behind this push. The Smallville... esque move of it doesn't totally surprise me. I was actually waiting for DC to bring this approach again. I mean, 10 years for a TV show is a long time. That's a success. You gotta look at it like that.
Yep.
And I was actually expecting somebody like either Green Arrow or Batman to get a similar approach. We do know that Arrow has this show coming out. It's going to be a bit more gritty, a bit more dark. The trailers and stuff I've seen for Arrow, they do have my interest a bit. When it comes down to one woman, or whatever you want to call it, Diana, or whatever strange name they're going to come with this show, I'll give it a chance. If you can hold my interest for a season, you'll see how far it goes. That's for me.
So your chance is a whole season? You try for a whole season?
I try for a whole season, yeah. Because for me, there have been a lot of shows that I've liked that haven't made it the whole season.
Well, I try an episode.
I will wait for a really strong recommendation before I even
try an episode. I try the pilot.
Well, with a comic book series, you know, I'll watch the first couple of episodes. I know I would do a whole season, but I'll watch a couple of episodes. I won't watch one because there's some shows that do better after the pilot. I'm a little bit wary of the idea of having her with no bracelets, no crown, but young Diana.
No,
we'll wait and see. I just wonder if it's going to be like, if it's her before she goes to...
The Mantle.
If she's on Themyscira, then it's more
okay. That's
sword
an interesting premise, and I might actually
that might be kind of interesting. You know,
maybe Hercules, Xena, that kind of show.
Maybe that would be kind of cool. Although, then it's a show with a huge cast of women and no guys might people might balk at that idea.
I don't
that sounds kind of cool. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I think they're gonna put it in a high school setting, just like they did Tom Welling.
And do that whole that's thing. Not gonna be.
Yeah, that would not be my thing.
But that's very CW.
Yeah, it's Ali.
And yeah, if they know their audience, they might be saying that's what they want to play for.
Yeah, and Secret Circle just got cancelled. No surprise. So they need a teen show to fill in.
I don't know. I'm hoping they don't go the old teen high school route. They haven't done that with Arrow. I mean, sure, it's a CW show, so everyone's going to be young and pretty and, you know, muscular and flexible.
I mean,
and stuff.
You look CW as an adjective.
You know, I'm hoping that they do bring something a little different to the premise.
It's probably right. It's probably going to be a high school show. Yeah. But let's wait and see.
I'm hoping not. I mean, I've really been enjoying the New 52 series of Wonder Woman. I think that's brilliant. If they could add a little something of that flavor to it, so you still get the whole mythology in there, you know, that'd be cool.
Or it should end up being like that Percy
Jackson.
Percy and the Olympians movie, which a lot of people who read the Percy books did not like because the books were better, but there's an audience for that. Teens fighting mythological.
Yeah, it could be I like Percy Jackson, I think. I mean, it was like after school special stuff, but.
Was entertained while I watched it.
I am going to turn my brain off and watch it. I mean,
you have to have really good visuals for me to turn my brain off.
But what do we want? Do we want that for Wonder Woman?
I wouldn't watch it weekly. That would be something I would
watch
just
it
say
each week,
randomly.
Wait, with these kind of shows, you can't avoid the whole, you know, villain of the week thing. I mean, they did that for Smallville for like
the
5 or 7
season.
Years, man.
Yeah.
You never took time to build up Lex.
But, you know, a tall, gorgeous teenage girl who can kick ass and also be cute, that's probably right up the CW alley, and there'll be an audience for that. So, but it's good that Heinberg's writing it. I didn't really read his run. Did you guys read his run? He wrote her after Infinite Crisis. I didn't really read that. Did any of you?
I caught some of it, but at that point I really wasn't following Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
his take on her was like,
I have to say, reboots break comics for me. I stopped reading after Infinite as well. That's one of the times when I got off comics. You know, you start thinking, oh, well, it'll be interesting, let's see what they'll do, and it quickly just gets bogged down in being rebooted, in the whole thing of trying to get everything figured out.
You said you meant Infinite Crisis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was, that's when it, because before Infinite Crisis, I think the DC Universe was really cohesive, that whole family feel to them and everything. And then they did it, and it was 1 year later after that, and it was just, I was so disappointed.
And they kept the premise of multiverses alive. I would wish they would have written them all off and said, okay,
I love multiverses.
Well,
I think it's overused.
You have that.
No, I love them.
I know, I don't like it. That's I'm having problems with it too. Mark and I were talking
stories.
About
I love time travel stories.
I love time travel space.
More the merrier.
Cosmic, universal. But I don't like when you go off saying the infinite realities that are possible. Because then you can explain anything away and it doesn't matter. Nothing that anybody does matters because it was just a different reality.
I liked it. I loved the super
takes. Yeah, because the Superboy Prime just punched the universe. Whoops.
I love different takes on characters. I love the... Oh, somebody told me, was it you, Khalil, that we may have a spin-off series, Superman Earth 23 is the...
No, I would say it'd be good if we had it.
Darn, I thought you were saying we were.
If you guys read the Action Comics, there was Superman from Earth 23. He was a black Superman.
Kind of like Obama.
Yes.
Anyway, hopes.
Morrison said Superman that Obama was his inspiration. And his name was Kal-El, which I thought was cool. Because it sounds like my name. So that's good. We should see that. And then speaking of TV shows, we should also mention that they have cast an actress to play Black Canary in the Arrow movie.
Yeah, I heard of that.
So, if we'll see if she's going to be a fishnet and black leather. I think she's supposed to be a cop at first.
I think you're bringing in a Huntress character as well for Arrow.
Which is interesting. You
know? So there's potentially a whole love triangle thing, which happens constantly on CW.
Good on TV shows, yeah.
Right. Not so much in real life. But I think this whole push by DC to have some TV shows out there, I think they're playing to their strengths a bit. They've always had
they've done better on TV shows better than movies, and I think the movie films are hurting them a lot. So they're trying to build up some alternate media.
What TV shows though? I mean, outside of the animated universe.
They had Birds of Prey.
That was horrible.
Which was not good. It only lasted 12 episodes.
Yeah.
But they've done live action since the 70s successfully.
Yeah.
Batman and Wonder Woman were both very popular TV shows back in their day.
You talking about Adam West Batman?
Yes.
I don't know
for all the wrong reasons.
They still went on for a long time. It was popular. It was a different time, certainly. But it was very popular.
Yeah, the Flash back in the 90s.
And the Flash.
Flash was also
very popular.
It was good, but I think it suffered from scheduling issues, I think.
Easily you can say DC has done better at TV shows than Marvel. I mean,
Marvel just had the Hulk, right? That was it.
The Hulk TV show. They had lots of cartoons. Let's not count cartoons.
Yeah.
Hulk's the only one that comes to mind.
There wasn't a Spider-Man series, but that didn't do
it too well. Bad Spider-Man
series. I like it though. It's so cheesy. It has that theme is like this 70s porn percussion type song. It's like
bom, 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 and it's well known.
He's all walking on the rails and
let's see Spider-Man does whatever Spider can.
Yeah. I do think though this is part of DC's strike back at Marvel, trying to get back in line with them in terms of their success, getting their brand, their whole stable of characters back over there into public awareness. I'm a bit surprised they're going with Wonder Woman. They haven't had a whole lot of real success with the character.
Well, we should point out that Vulture, which carried the first article, said that the show is not called Wonder Woman but Amazon.
Oh,
that's the working title. So Arrow, Amazon, they're kind of
the alphabetical listings.
in front of TV guy. No, it's more like I think that they're trying to kind of make them
seem not a comic book.
Yeah, kind of digest able for the audience to.
What would be a smart move though would be if they went the whole police procedurals route and did a Gotham PD show.
I would watch that.
That'd rock, yeah. I think.
I'd watch that.
That'd be huge.
With like Bullock and Renee Montoya and all of them. I would totally watch that.
Yeah, and you
can have some supervillain guest stars occasionally.
Yeah, you can do that. You can even have somebody there that's a Batman swinging it, but it's more about the cops dealing with these super
Gotham crimes. As a unique cesspool of crime.
Whatever happened with Powers, they were working on Powers.
I don't know.
I think that they actually shot a pilot, but I think they had to go on. I don't think they liked it and they went to back to drawing board in there, I think.
I guess.
I think that's a short put.
I mean, there's a whole lot of potential there for TV shows that they're being kind of like overshadowed because there's a series that they're called Fables that is wildly popular with readers. But then on TV, you've got shows like Grimm and you've got Once Upon a Time.
Mm. And Once Upon a Time is very much like Fables.
Yeah.
At least in the premise, not execution.
You know, the same material. Not particularly the same, characters, but where are these kind of shows making it to TV with the character they have?
Yeah, well, I think they probably just missed the gun at the beginning because somebody's already taken the slot. We can't have Fables now with Grimm and Once Upon a Time on the air. That's not really.
You've got dozens of police procedurals on the air right now. I mean, you've got NCIS, you've got NCIS LA, you've got
Law and Order,
15 different flavors of CSA.
And Law and Order.
And Law and Order. I love SVU, by the way, that's my favorite.
So another comic book movie, we also got the
one we were talking about, Mark.
I think we would have talked about this in a previous podcast. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been cast as Lobo. DC's apparently going to do a Lobo movie.
I'm interested in the Lobo movie premise. I've not seen The Rock as Lobo.
Why are you interested in Lobo?
Yeah.
I like Deadpool. It's just a silly, ridiculous, fun, overpowered character.
Can't imagine.
Well, the log line they have here... apparently it's Lobo, a powerful alien bounty hunter, lands on Earth in search of four fugitives who are bent on wreaking havoc.
So he's a good guy.
That sounds simple.
It's like that show in the 90s, Time Tracks, when the cop comes back.
Darian Lambert.
Yes. I love that show. The future comes back and tries to hunt down villains from the future.
There's a show that started up out of Canada called Continuum. Continuum, which is very, very Time Tracks esque. You know, I mean, yeah, this is a comic book.
Anybody remembers Time Tracks?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, The Rock, I think, would be at least visually a really good Namor or a really good Black Adam.
Right.
Yeah,
Namor. I hadn't thought about that.
Namor and Black Adam look very similar, so but he would look like them. But as Lobo,
with the attitude and everything that he has as his Rock persona, that would go right into Namor. That would go perfectly.
Yeah.
Black Adam as well.
Yeah. I don't know Black Adam well, so
but I don't want to see an arrogant attitude.
I guess Lobo is arrogant and
He's a clown. I'm having trouble with The Rock with that.
I don't know. I've never seen Lobo as so offbeat. Not to the same level as someone like Deadpool.
Okay. But it's similar.
Have you read Lobo versus Santa Claus?
I have.
He killed Santa Claus.
That should explain something.
<You know, laughs> he was hired by the Easter Bunny.
Yes, to kill Santa Claus.
I'm so serious. I think I prefer Lobo when he's going up against like the Justice League, or he's just landing in Metropolis and he's slapping it off Superman for kick, you know.
I was reading a bit about Lobo recently, and the vast differences in power levels depending on who's writing him is one of the problems I'm having. I mean, like, which Lobo are we getting? I mean, are we getting cosmic Superman fighting Lobo, or are we getting, you know, basically human Lobo?
Well, The Rock can probably play a big bad nasty bounty hunter. I'm sure people will go see it.
I would like to see Rock returning more his action-esque roots. The recent, you know, Disney.
I agree. I was disappointed in his movie foray. I mean, he has much more potential than he's you know, gotten from
the Tooth Fairy.
What, the Secret Island didn't do it for you?
Did you see Tooth Fairy, Mark?
There's also a Secret Island.
Yeah, I know Secret Island too. I saw Tooth Fairy and Escape the Witch Mountain and
But I think he is going back because he's going to do this new film with what's the guy's name? Oh, Mark Wahlberg. They're going to play bodybuilders that are like villains. And they've both gotten very big, like huge. They've been working out. So the Rock is going to play kind of an insane bodybuilder. So.
Well, I mean,
it's an action film.
His action air film for this year got pushed back. G.I. Joe, that got pushed back.
Right.
Apparently, they're going to convert it to 3D, which I think is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And what it was is that there were too many action films this year that they would have to compete with in the summer. Mm-hmm. So Batman and Spider-Man.
So they pushed back to when, exactly?
January.
2013.
Yeah.
Man of Steel is coming out.
Has a January release date.
Man of Steel is probably in the middle of the year, just around summer.
Just to ask your question, Wade, about the Powers TV show, Michael Bendis has said that it's going to still coming out June 2012. The FX, who's supposed to be doing the show, FX announced that they would still be doing it. They're going to reshoot the pilot.
Right. That's what it said. June 2012.
Yeah, in June 2012 is 12. Oh, okay, they said that they were going to retool the pilot, and Bendis said so on his Tumblr as well. So the show's still coming, and it's going to be a procedural with superpowered beings. So just like the comic book series.
Well, hopefully it'll last a bit longer than Heroes.
Heroes went 4 seasons, but
that's what it stays good.
It wasn't
longer
than Heroes.
It's not
the
end of Heroes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we should. We got any more news? Oh, there was the. We did get a preview of the new Uncanny Avengers book that's coming out with the art by, what's the guy's name?
Jerome Opinia, who has done some Avengers art and is right now the artist on Uncanny X-Force.
And it is beautiful stuff.
It looks really, really good.
Some pencils and inks, but it looks really, really, really good. And I'm hoping, well, I believe this is going to be like when Bendis took over with the new Avengers. It's a brand new start. I think it's going to be really good.
But 18 characters is supposed to be, and it's going to rotate.
18
so it's not going to focus on
one
like one team. It's going to be there are 18 Avengers, and it's going to look at different cross sections of the team and look at the different characterizations. So it won't always be like Captain America and these 5 guys. It will rotate through the 18 members.
Let me also say, I really think I like the way they're going with Thor. It looks like they turn him more barbarian. The costume is very basic, and he seems to be a little more rough around the edges. Like, he's not taking any more guff from anybody. That's what I want to see from Thor.
I saw
in the original pic, but I'm not seeing any swords anywhere since.
But if you look at the cover art for
Thor, God of Thunder, which is the one that they're redoing, he does still have that same outfit in the Avengers, but with all the swords. And so it's kind of, he does look more barbarian, but I guess it's
the idea gets his ass kicked, and he's like, you know what?
Swords Thor has gone being down and
died a couple times.
Pretty much every crossover Marvel has had.
Because he's a big gun, so they send him in against the biggest threats, and he gets...
It's the same thing with Wolverine. If you want to say somebody is badass, they have somebody kick Wolverine's butt, and they're like, oh, he must be badass because he defeated Wolverine. Yeah. Same thing with Thor. They're like, oh, he kicked Thor's butt, so he must be an evil villain.
Well, no, I mean, in Ends of the Earth, the last Spider-Man major story that they had
with Doc Ock.
With Doc Ock, where Doc Ock is figuring he has nothing to lose, he's going to die, so, you know, he's going to take the role with him. Spider-Man actually got smart. I mean, he had all this tech and a suit, a new suit and stuff, and planning, but he called it the Avengers. He said, hey, I'm an Avenger now, let me ask for help. So it's like, what? The major Avengers going, Red Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Clouds in there, and Thor got taken away right now. You know? So for me, it's
Spider-Man's
like...
Spider-Man's villain right now?
Yeah.
And he also gets taken out by the Phoenix and the AVX, so... So yeah, either the Phoenix and the Rhino are on the same power level,
which is laughable,
or there's an issue.
Yeah,
I think that's all the news we had today, right?
Yeah. Before we go in the news, though, I wanna point out that we have been asking our followers to tweet us and send in messages to us on the Facebook
group. Yes, we have. That's right.
And we have had a few responses. I want to read those out if I can. The first thing is I want to say Stephen Rayside, who tweeted us.
Stefan
Rayside. Sorry, Stefan. And he said that a great Mandarin would be Donnie Yen, who's a Hong Kong actor. He thinks because he's a good actor, great martial arts skills, and he's not ugly, he would be a good Mandarin.
Wait, so, not ugly? I'm disqualifying from being
you got to be pretty if you're going to be on TV, going to be on the big screen.
I don't know. Donnie Yen, I mean, pretty much all of his Hollywood movies, he's dead off screen, so, you know.
But he is a very well-known Hong Kong actor. I guess he thinks he can do the martial arts part for sure. Jamar sent us a tweet saying, "I agree with Mark. I feel sorry for the next person cast as Tony Stark."
That's gonna be ugly. It's just gonna be nasty. No matter how good he is, if he changes that role at all, it's gonna be ugly.
I don't know. I mean, the Brits have done it with Bond and with Doctor Who. You know.
Yeah. Not without resistance the first time it changed. I mean, once it became a franchise thing, we change Bonds. You know, it's all cool. We always look forward to the next one. But the first time they changed, I can't remember from which one to which one. But there was a lot of noise about how is this going to work.
Yeah, yeah. Even with Doctor Who, even though it's written into the mythos, whenever it changes, people always look at the next person really kind of with a side eye.
And so-and-so is the only real Doctor as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, thanks very much. And then Jamar also tweet us to say, I think that Lewis was used as a way of grounding Superman to humanity, referencing the new Superman Wonder Woman kind of love relationship going on. So he's saying that he thinks that Lewis is a good way to make Superman, you know,
I think that's
connect.
A valid point. I mean, Superman and Wonder Woman just become a power couple, so disconnected from
my thing is, I always hear people saying, I can't relate to this character, I can't relate to that character. Do we need to relate to a character to enjoy him? I don't think
Superman needs
to be relatable. I don't think so either.
His biggest draw for me, at least, is that you've got this guy with this huge amount of power and abilities, but all he really wants to be is human. All he really wants to do is fit in, and that is very relatable.
Yeah, but I don't need to relate to Superman to enjoy him.
I think he means that for the character to relate to humans, it helps that he has Lewis. Passionate kind of woman.
I don't think he needs that either. I think he had a totally human background, youth. I think he relates to humans as well.
That's fair, but there's been a lot of storylines done of him being a distant alien, that no matter how much he does,
and I never understood that, because it's not like he came to Earth when he was 20 or 25.
But it depends on when they write his powers manifesting, because if more of his life has been spent
as a human, like,
as a non-human, I mean, than as a human, then you can get those stories where if he is a teenager, can't experience other things that teenagers go through, that kind of vulnerability, yes, then he, you know, he could be just an alien. But it's a good point, and so we want to thank Jamar for that tweet. And let's go into some reviews now.
Yeah, okay, so some reviews, guys. this week DC put out their first bunch of Zero issues, so where we get to
Zero month has started.
Yeah, we get to see some of the history of the new 52 characters, well, the new interpretations of our characters before. We had Action Comics Zero, Green Lantern Zero, and a host of others. I think we should start with the Earth 2 books. Who's reviewing that, guys?
I'll take a crack at it. The Earth 2 books, right now, in the roster of New 52, it's just Earth 2 and World's Finest. Earth 2 deals more with the JSA. Since the reboot of the New 52, a lot of fans have been complaining that their favorite characters, namely the entire JSA, the Justice Society of America, has been absent. DC responded by saying, well, Earth 2 is their playground now. And that's where we get to see a lot of these characters coming together, starting up actually being heroes. But with Earth 2 Zero, this is more of a throwback to before, with the Earth 2 Trinity, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. When the Earth 2 series started, in the very first issue, only a handful of pages in, these three top tier heroes, they get wiped out by this apocalyptic invasion of Earth 2. Now with Earth Zero, we get a chance to see these heroes, who they were prior to them, you know, being there until the demise. So, we've got a lot of cool stuff happening in Earth 2 Zero. We do see the big three, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, in their whole push, their fight back, their resistance of the invasion. But we also get to see a hero that has only been briefly mentioned before, and that is on Earth 1, he's known as Mr. Terrific. He's just known as Mr. 8 now, Terry Sloan, whose tagline is that he's one of the smartest men on Earth, whichever Earth he is on, actually. So we see Terry Sloan.
Shades of Ozymandias.
Yeah, we see Terry Sloan. We get a sense of who he is, and we realize that this is a guy who intends to save the world by any means necessary.
Doesn't sound familiar at all.
So we see part of his plan to do this. It's very Machiavellian, very the end justifies the means. In it, he's willing to sacrifice what everyone else would think would be the best hope for success, i.e. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. The issue itself, it deals with the raid these four heroes are on, trying to shut down some apocalyptic tech, and we see Terry Sloan's true colors. He has this device, this whole pre-planned thing. If you are familiar with Batman, you know Batman's all about planning and all these complex strategies and stuff. It's like Terry Sloan ups that to, you know, number 11. He's got a plan to take out Wonder Woman, he's got a plan to take out Superman, and he's the only body facing off against Batman, and despite Batman's best efforts, he can't actually stop Terry Sloan. The other cool thing with this month's Zeros, we're dealing now with World's Finest. World's Finest, thus far, well, prior to this Zero, dealt a lot with two characters. Power Girl, Kara Zor-El, and Huntress, Helena Wayne, who is the daughter of Earth 2's Catwoman and Batman. Power Girl, or as she's known on Earth 2, Supergirl, she's the cousin of Superman. Previously, the series dealt with their now living on the main DC Earth, kind of in the shadows, kind of working from the background, so to speak. But with the World's Finest Zero, we get to see them actually how they first met. It's not exactly a happy joy story. We do get to see Helena as Robin, as Batman, her father's sidekick. We get to see her being influenced by Catwoman, her mother, so she's a bit of a rogue. You know, she doesn't really play well with others. And in this issue, she ends up with a personal tragedy, just one of many to come. And this is where she first meets Supergirl, who actually comes in and saved their life. That act pretty much is the cornerstone for their friendship. Personally, I guess to close up, the Earth 2 titles for me have been my favorites of this whole New 52 relaunch, aside from issues like Wonder Woman and Aquaman. But I just like Earth 2 so much more. I don't know what you guys think about that. What are your feelings on Earth 2?
I wasn't a fan of the art for the Earth 2-0, honestly.
Which one?
The Earth 2.
Oh, Earth 2.
Yeah. The World's Finest I Love, that was Kevin Maguire, and I love the way he does detailing to faces. He was on Justice League and National back in the day. His art is beautiful, but the Earth 2, I wasn't a fan of.
Tomas Giorello.
Yeah, I don't like his stuff at all. It seems it's painted and it's a little...
It's too pretty for you, eh?
It's not working for me at all. I don't like the designs. The Superman design seems a little... It's not the one I initially saw from the original sketches that Jim Lee did. I don't like it at all. What was cool, though, I like how the Earth had the... When Terry Sloan detonated his devices, it looks very like Apocalypse with fire pits coming out. So I think that's... I don't know, that foreshadowing is something.
Well, the thing is, they are fighting Apocalypse.
Right, I know. So that's very Apocalypse's, right. So he seems to me like he's going to become what he's trying to fight. I also like,
think so. Oh no!
Yeah,
I think they're introducing him. I think. Sorry, not to cross you. I think it's interesting that in Earth Zero and in Earth Two, both Justice Leagues fought Darkseid first.
Yeah.
His minions, but
we find Darkseid's forces first. And at the end of Wonder Woman last month, we saw a suggestion of maybe Darkseid and Darkseid's coming back. And so I thought it was kind of interesting that they're all linked. I wonder if at some point if they're going to do a Earth 2, Earth 0 crossover with one villain, if the apocalypse goes across both. But
that would be a cool
but Terry Sloan as another villain. I thought was good because I felt like Earth 2 didn't have any other villains except for Darkseid up to now.
What I was wondering too is in his initial dialogue he was talking about the 8 heroes on Earth and he didn't mention who the 8th one was. He was saying he was not going to mention it based on whatever happened. I'm really curious to see who that is.
I'm going to be the lone objector here. I don't like multiverses. I'm going to choose one of these Earths and follow that one. Trying to follow more than one of them just really annoys me.
I love different takes on characters.
I do agree that Earth 2 is more exciting and more interesting.
I like a bit more cohesive, but
that's probably the one I'm going to follow.
What I also thought was kind of cool was at the beginning of Earth 2 we're told that the Trinity died, that Batman, Superman and Wonder Woman died. And so the JSA characters get kind of free reign because there's no other. But at the end of this, the suggestion is that Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman may have survived this explosion. Because we see them flying off at the end together, away from the multiple explosions that Sloan has put off. And
but this isn't where. This is like a prequel to that. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
This is a long time ago.
I didn't realize.
So they're still dead, I think.
Okay, well then, never mind. I totally did not realize that. But
oh yeah, 6 years ago.
That was 6 years ago. But we saw him as a villain in Mr. Terrific series.
Yeah.
So he's still around as a villain.
Let's not call him a villain though. Let's call him.
But which Terry Sloan is that?
Let's call him a hero with wrong way of doing things.
He's a hero to you.
He has heroic designs. He knows what's gonna happen.
He wanna make the world better.
He's seen all the possibilities to come.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but
even if you're a fascist who wants to make the world better, you're still a fascist. The man willingly destroyed major parks on every single continent but the US.
Those people he killed were already lost.
And he was willing to kill all of the Justice League to make the world better, so.
Well.
We never liked any of his heroes to go dark. You were willing to, like, defend them.
I'm not defending him, I'm saying he's like Ozymandias. He has, decent motives for what he's doing.
Decent motives? Really?
He wants to save the world. Even if you sacrifice three quarters, necessary. Yeah, is you better. It's better have one half of a nerf than none at all, right?
No.
Oh, so you'd rather be with a day instead of some, right? Okay.
But no, I mean, as a hero, are you supposed to be like, you know, a standard?
Y'all made that hard call.
Well, then the other thing is, he could be wrong. His calculations could be wrong.
Could be wrong, but he's the smartest man on Earth. He's not wrong.
He said he thinks he's the smartest man on Earth. Another cool thing is that Mr. Terrific may end up on Earth, too.
No, he does end up on Earth, too.
And so we have to see if Terry Sloan or Mr. Terrific...
Actually, they do meet.
They met earlier.
Yeah, but you were saying maybe they met on Earth 1.
No, it was Earth 2. It was when,
Earth 2, right?
It was when Mensrick first
So it's the team. Same guy.
Yeah, he was waiting for him, basically. He knew he was coming.
Yeah, but is there? But we don't know if there's a Terry Sloan on the mainland Earth.
I don't think there is.
Because, again, with
the none of the Earth 2 characters exist in any form on Earth 0, I don't think at all. So there's no Terry Sloan. That was when Mensrick first landed on Earth 2. That Terry Sloan intercepted him. He was waiting for him.
That's what I thought. So it's this guy as well.
It's this guy.
It'd be interesting to see if he's really not as, if he's not as smart as he thinks that he is. But how do we rate these two issues?
I rate the Earth, the World's Finest a little higher. I give that a 3.5. I give this one a 3.
This is out of 5?
Out of 5, yeah.
I like World's Finest a lot. I give it a 4. Earth 2.0, I give it 3.
Quick thing on World's Finest. I think maybe some people might be confused by the idea of this is a different Supergirl and it's a female Robin, and but I didn't find it hard to kind of figure out what was happening. I really liked the artwork on this as well.
Yeah.
And what I really hope we see, because we didn't kind of get to see a lot of it, was the relationship between Catwoman and Bruce. I really liked those scenes. They were very cool. I mean, the action sequences on Earth, on World's Finest, have always been good. But what was really cool was those little kind of, like, just those little family moments that they showed. Catwoman and Bruce were kind of sexy and passionate. And,
enough with the PDA, right?
You know, yeah. It was really cool. So maybe at some point, if they want to do a mini or something, we can see some more of that. I would welcome that.
Yeah, I will agree with you, Khalil. I want to see more of Earth 2. Prior to the whole Apocalypse Invasion. In terms of rating these two books, I think I will rate World's Finest higher. It kind of continues the whole, you know, the original World's Finest with Superman and Batman. It continues that, kind of pays homage to that. But I really do like these two characters. You know, I've always been a Power Girl fan. She isn't quite the same Power Girl that you would have known previously.
She's more like 70s Supergirl. She's more kind of flirty and fun.
Which works for me, because that's the one I know best.
Yeah. And then...
In terms of... Not costuming this, I was looking at the Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman. This Batman costume, you think this is his war costume? Or that he always had this bulky-looking, clunky-looking mess? I think
if you're Batman dealing with superpowers, right, so you think it's a different suit.
This is something he put on because
when you go street fighting.
Yeah, it's not his right. Okay.
So. Well, what I find interesting is that the Earth 2 Batman, he's kind of like a mix, because his suit kind of looks like Damian's suit when he becomes Batman.
Yeah.
But also he's fighting with two sticks, which is more of a Dick Grayson sort of thing. So that's kind of strange.
He's not as dark a character, but that's always the case for Earth 2 Batman anyway.
All right. Yeah, I rate World's Finest higher. I go to mark 4 for World's Finest and 3-ish. For Earth 2.
Alright, well, let's move on. I want to do my book. We talk about Green Lantern Zero.
Yeah, I want to hear about this week. Come on.
Yeah, I need to go this way.
Yeah, this was a good one.
We talked about this last episode.
Yeah, I really like this one. I was prepared to not like Simon Baz, but DC's made him a really sympathetic type of character, because we see his family when 9/11 happened and the Twin Towers were destroyed. There were an Arab family living in the States. And, you know, based on that, they started getting a hard time from other Americans, harassed, beat up.
And I think it's relevant, not just him, but his sister, that he has sister, to protect his family and kind of be there all the time.
And he grew up an angry kid and eventually turned to crime. He's a car thief. And what the story opens up with him stealing a van, which in that situation takes a terrible turn for the worse. And the van is packed with high explosives. He saves everybody by driving the van into an abandoned building where he probably used to work, but based on his race and the fact he had a van full of explosives,
yeah, that doesn't work.
The police took him into custody, interrogated him as a terrorist.
Yeah, and under the Patriot Act, he's taken out of the U.S.
Yeah.
To be interrogated.
Probably Guantanamo Bay or something, I don't know. He's about to be tortured. I'm not sure what were they going to do in Pontiac.
When
a ring bursts through the window, and we see, like we said last week, it is Sinestro's ring, which has been reintegrated with Hal Jordan's. It's still loopy because it's still going error and whatnot.
Yeah, that's my favorite line from the comic. You have the error.
Yeah. So he bursts. So there's this agent I found. There's this agent in there, Agent Fed, mm-hmm. who seems as he's gonna have a bigger part in the story somewhere along the line. Anyway, so Baz bursts out and he passes on the beach. And the coolest part, where Mark is not gonna like, but I love. We see Hal Jordan and Sinestro apparently still alive somewhere dark. I don't know if that's in the Book of the Black. They're in prison. I don't know where they are.
But they look like they're wearing
their original clothes. They're not green ring powered. I don't know where it is. But
DC has a limbo.
Yeah, DC has a limbo.
I don't think it's limbo. I think it's probably Black Hand was working for Necron, but I don't think that's limbo. Though, all in all, it was a great book. Green Lantern. It's consistently written well. Jeff Jones is putting all his energy into this on Aquaman to the detriment of GLA, but you know, that's another story altogether. I love the art. Doug Mikey is my favorite Green Lantern artist. I love him more than Ethan Van Sciver. He's put on in this. I literally look for Baz. I find it odd though that all superheroes, since we have an Arab one, despite their race, are all good looking and built.
Overweight
superheroes. That's right. It's realistic. We have some diversity. Why are all superheroes good looking and ripped with six packs?
Right. Only in like Legion of Superheroes do you have a diversity of looks.
Yeah, because that's you are bouncing boys. So his power is to be fat and
right. Whatever. But not only that, like you have like non-humanoid and they're not all gorgeous.
Some
of them are like some of the girls are actually not built like models in some cases. But every other superhero,
they're all good looking. I mean, even characters like the cockroach kid in Teen Titans Skitter, she's cockroach, but she's still a good looking cockroach.
The thing is, right, if you look at some of the books that you had, like when we read some books in the 80s and stuff, some superheroes looked more regular and some looked more gorgeous. I feel like it was also like that way on TV. Mm. When you looked at some like people on TV, there were some who were gorgeous and then some who looked like people that you know, and now you look at TV, everybody's gorgeous all the time, and it doesn't matter what show you watch, everybody looks like models. And I think the artwork in comic books also reflects that, because if you like take like a character like Rogue, for example,
when she first appeared,
she was just like a regular girl, hair. She wasn't.
I thought she was like 50.
Well, originally when she was first drawn, she was old, and then when she got just as into the X-Men, she was drawn as a teenager. Yeah. But she was still like a regular girl, and then somehow the 90s came along, and Rogue and Jubilee, and everybody
hot.
Everybody just became super hot across the board.
I have a huge problem with that homogenous look. That's the quickest way to knock me out of a show when everybody just looks the same and just lose interest.
Yeah,
but we've gone a bit derail, guys. Let's get back into
for people who may not have been watching reading Green Lantern, sorry, I think this is a good jumping on point as well. I think a lot of the zero issues were like that for people. If you want to jump on point, it would be a good time to use the zeros to kind of get into the stories. But a lot of the zeros were kind of like backstories or stories set in the past. This is one of the few ones this month that was kind of still continuing along with the story as it was. I think it's the only one I can think of we read that was not a story set in the past, but it was a good place for somebody to kind of get on this story and figure out. I like Wade was really ready to dislike this character.
Me too.
I still don't understand why he has a gun, because when he gets knocked out of the prison, he doesn't have a gun or a mask. Mm-hmm. But I'll wait to see how they introduce that.
They tackled my big issue with it was a Muslim with a tattoo, which is forbidden, but they acknowledge that it's forbidden. I think we're supposed to take it that he's not a strict Muslim.
I think he's a Muslim at all. I think he's just Middle Eastern. I think he's totally I'm stepping away from the
faith.
He absolutely is.
Is he a practicing Muslim? His family was Muslim, basically.
Yeah, well,
he probably, I mean,
I guess you'll get more about the story, but my impression
his family's a traditional Muslim.
His family, but is he? I mean, I have Christian family, but am I used to a Christian? I mean, I don't think so.
I'm not entirely happy with it.
Just don't let Jeff Jones mark the rest.
No, I basically, here we are. Earth is probably the only planet in the entire Green Lantern Corps
that has
more than one Green Lantern. Alright? At this point, you've got Simon Baz on board, and he's another dude. Are there no females on Earth that can overcome fear? I mean, overcome.
There's no any girls in Clubhouse. Thank you very much.
Well, come on. If you really wanted something new, they could have made this new Green Lantern female. I think so.
Right? But that has to do with where comics are, like, where DC and Marvel comics are written and who the main audience is.
They're dudes.
They're guys.
So put it,
because, I mean, like, when you read, like, Justice League, for example, a majority of those superheroes are all American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we read X-Men, a majority of mutants for some reason are all American.
Yeah, funny. I'm not,
I mean, honestly, Omar, I prefer to read about a male Middle Eastern guy with all these issues. I prefer to read about a female one, to be honest. I think a female Middle Eastern Arab Muslim would have different concerns than a male. I like this guy.
I think that's just... It just depends on if you have good writing. If it's
right, yeah, I guess. But I already like him.
I kind of understand what we're always saying. Yeah. There's more potential to be heavy-handed with the Islam aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a woman, I can accept that. Let's go in small stages.
I'm not saying she has to be Muslim. I'm just saying.
No, I know. But
if
they changed this character,
if it was a girl and she was Muslim but something else,
sure.
She was well written. They could do it the same way.
I'll reserve judgment on that. I'm not wildly opposed to female Green Lantern, but I don't know that I could see it.
They've only ever had Jade. Yeah. They've never really kind of.
Well, you mean from this sector.
From this sector.
Yeah. I don't know. It's better, honestly, than I thought it would be.
I think we all agree on that.
It was one of the best issues for this month, for sure.
It is definitely one of the best heroes, seriously speaking. Yeah. But in terms of this character, the Green Lantern, it's being handled a lot better than they would have expected.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew it was going to handle well.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
hoped it was going to be handled well.
I have ultimate faith in Jeff Jones.
you're a sheep.
So we know you're a religious.
I worship at the Church of Jones.
I am a little disappointed that Hal and Sinestro are actually dead. I am wondering though if they're trapped in the limbo. The reason I say that is because the final few panels, the artwork, the coloring reminds me of the limbo that Hal was found in when the Justice League in the it was that miniseries where the Spectre went nuts.
Okay, yes.
Day of Judgment. A group of leaguers actually went to limbo to get Hal. So a lot of the coloring for that, it looks very, very reminiscent of that. But again, we're going to wait to see what actually happens.
I think they're in the Book of the Black, to be honest. I think that's where you're going to find they are. But I guess we'll wait and see.
Right. Well, so this issue we all rate it as?
I give us 5.
You would.
4.5.
I give it 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5, yeah.
It's really hard for me to give perfect marks on everything. You know?
Yeah. There's always room for
it. It has Doug Mankey on art. Jeffrey
art is nice.
Very cool new Green Lantern. I give it a 5.
The art was really gorgeous.
I give it a 5.
I very much enjoyed it.
I give it a 5. Alright, well, moving on. Do we have any more DC books?
We have any non-DC books?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we do. Mark, you want to do Action Comics 0? You had a lot to say about that.
Yeah, that was. We've been talking a lot about the CW mentality. This was the CW mentality as a book. I mean, Action Comics were written as almost if they're just maybe 20 somethings, and Clark and Jimmy as contemporaries, which was a little strange. Playing games, yeah, that playing games and talking about movies and who knew the more obscure movies was a little strange. I mean, to me, Superman's always been kind of a big brother figure for Jimmy, if anything. Jimmy is a poor little rich kid. Clark is an orphan Annie. It was the whole setup just seemed very different. And they were fawning over Lois from afar, like she's the cool kid in school, and you know, I wish I could talk to her. Yeah. So that's why I felt CW from the thing. The action sequences in jeans, a weight t-shirt, and a cape. that was all the setup from almost Smallville. It really felt a lot like Smallville in a comic. The power limits, he got hurt by a rocket. He was witness getting hurt by Jimmy and Lois. Keeping his alternate identity a secret. Straight from the get-go, he's seen by his two closest friends, so I'm wondering how they're going to keep that going. The cape story was cool. I like that. I like what they did with the cape being the only part of him that's
indestructible.
Indestructible. There were a lot of neat little tributes. Mystic Triple X. I thought that was cool. Very cute.
Yeah.
The rescue scene was great. That was excellent when he came to rescue the kid. So the action in the comic was excellent, but I was having a lot of trouble with the setup of him, Jimmy, Lois, you know, the job at the office. And is it me, or was he jumping and not flying?
Yeah, he was jumping. If you're reading action from the beginning, he's not as powerful as he becomes later. That's why the rocket hit him so hard.
Getting hurt by the rocket made that
clear. He's basically the 1938 Superman.
Okay.
Jump an eighth of a country mile, nothing less than a bursting shell.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I actually like the interplay between him and Jimmy earlier. I like to see him. He seems so normal. Like,
yeah, I agree. He's normal. I have to get used to it. I have to get used to him and Jimmy in that situation.
Talking about games riffing off of obscure movies. I was like, that's Superman. That was so cool. I thought it was cool.
Then there was the second story of Eric Drecken becoming. Does that character have another name?
That's Captain Comic.
No, not Eric Drecken. You mean Adam Blake. Eric Drecken, the scientist guy. He's actually part of the anti-Superman squad in Action Comics number 5. He becomes a giant gorilla, and then he can evolve and stuff.
The telepath who he meets becomes Captain Comic.
Right. Adam Blake, the kid, is Captain Comic. Right. I actually like the backup story more than the main story, to be honest.
I don't know if more than that. I was really interested in the main story. Like I said, it had stuff I had personally had problems with, but I think I could shoehorn into my appreciation of Superman.
Yeah, this one is not as easy a jumping on point for readers, but there were some cool stories in there.
Yeah.
I thought it was, to me, a little bit more throwaway than some of the other Zeros this month. Like, if I didn't read it, I don't think I would have missed anything.
Yeah, agreed.
But they were entertaining. They were entertaining to read. But I think after I read it, like I said to you guys, I had to read it a couple of times to actually get through it. And I think it's because it didn't hold my interest as much as some of the other Zeros. The best one for me is the middle story, the kid who stole Superman's cape. I thought that was really fun. And just this quick setup, it's about a kid who's in an abusive household who steals Superman's cape and uses it to defend his little brother. And it sounds kind of cheesy, but it kind of really worked.
Yeah, it was cute. Well. It was really cute.
And Ben Oliver is the artist on that, and the artwork kind of worked for it as a separate story from the other two. So, I liked it.
I don't know. For me, I honestly think that DC should have started their whole New 52 campaign with these Zero stories.
I'm seconding that. I really agree with that very strongly. Being thrown into a new universe with no explanation was really weird for me. I'm still having a hard time with most of the New 52.
I don't know if a lot of these would work, though, if you had them as the first stories that you read.
Yeah, you mean they have set up from the other books?
Yeah, if you read Earth 2-0 or World's Finest 0 as the first one, you would be like, oh, what is this? And probably not have bought the second one.
Yeah,
I think some of them work better because you have some kind of a background from before. Certainly, a lot of these Superman stories, they wouldn't have made any sense if you hadn't read the ones that came before.
Does anybody miss how comics used to be? I mean, you start with an origin story and a straight progression. So what happens nowadays? You start with a lot of mystery and you don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, they get built in over time.
I don't miss it.
Right now, they're writing comic books as movies, where you start in the middle.
And TV shows, they're writing it like Lost. You know, I mean, every comic starts off
some mystery, some big background you don't know.
But the payoff is better because, at least for me, if I come in and you kind of have to walk me through the whole thing, that's kind of why I don't like the reboots of like Spider-Man. When I have to go through the whole origin story each time, it kind of drives me up a wall. I just feel like, oh god. That's why I like Thor a little bit, even though it wasn't a perfect movie. Like, where it just started established, and, you know, you kind of said, okay, this is this guy, he's the son of Odin, and you went straight into the action. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're having a fight with the Frost Giants. Okay, I can... And then you can give me the backstory later. the Superman type action comics, I liked the first one more. If I start off with the Zero comics and it's just Superman playing video games with Jimmy, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to be buying this again. You know?
There are a lot of things in this Zero issue that add to what you've seen before.
Exactly.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? I think for what it did prior to this Zero issue, they left a lot of stuff out. That didn't make any sense, even though you would have figured every issue one.
Well, I think the Captain Comet thing, if you'd had that before, the issue where he comes and he attacks the city, that would have been cool. I would have been fine with that. But, I mean, I'm okay with things starting in the middle. I don't need it to be linear.
I think for me, the problem there is just that I have so many assumptions and history and stuff built up. If you don't tell me what this universe is like, I'm going on my history, and it just doesn't make sense
as you go
forward.
I get that. But if you gotta treat it, we have to treat them all as reboots.
It's really hard to.
Okay, it's a new universe with some of the history that we know from before established, but wait till they tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the history that you know that's still here, and this stuff is new.
It seems really to me like they're making up on fly. Like, it is. Change stuff when it doesn't work and nothing is concrete.
That's fine. It's a new universe.
Yeah, but it's a mess.
There
should have been better planning.
Yeah, I think
they
really missed the ball on this. I think they could have done this a whole lot better.
But I think the problem is that in some universes, some things work that you have to keep, and in some universes, it doesn't work. You have to get rid of it.
And they're working on responses. They're working on reader responses. Try to figure that out.
Exactly. Because
I can understand that, but I think they should have done more planning up front. Maybe a year of planning up front.
Maybe.
Because this was a response to poor sales. It was like, okay, we have to do something. It really could have used more solid background work.
I think my biggest issue with the New 52 and Action Comics is the whole, you know, fly for this. Is the disjointed storyline they have running. You know?
But based on the backup, it seems like
Morrison's
going to tie some stuff together.
Yeah,
though,
I don't think that's a problem maybe with the New 52. I think it's a problem with individual titles. Because as we've been going on, I think there are more successful titles overall than there are bad ones.
Yeah.
And it's just because there are a lot of, like, the flagship ones, Detective Comics and Action Comics, have been disjointed that made us feel kind of sad about it because you know all the history. But overall, I think the New 52 has been more successful.
I can agree with
characters.
That.
Well, it's funny though, but the most successful books are the ones that didn't change much at all. Green Lantern and Batman. Aquaman and Wonder Woman did benefit, but then there's also Batman and Green Lantern, which didn't change at all.
I have to say, I think Aquaman's an aberration in this whole reboot. It is fantastic, but it's amazing that it's fantastic. It's noteworthy.
It's Geoff Johns, Mark.
It's a noteworthy achievement. I'll give that to
Jones.
He's done an amazing job.
How do we rate Action Comics?
I give it a 3. It was the first story was pretty nice. It was heartwarming, and the backup was pretty strong.
Yeah.
I did not quite enjoy the art in the first one, but I give it a 3. No, you know what? 3.5.
I was just going to say that was my score. 3.5, based on the great story, the great human interest story with the kid.
I give it a 3, and it only because I like the human interest story in the middle.
Yeah,
the other
for
two
me as well.
All right, so that's the end of our DC comics. We're going to move on to some Marvel.
Before we get there, do we have any DC recommendations?
Okay, you want to do recommendations now?
Yeah,
sure. Recommendations. Okay, anyone?
What did I read this
Phantom
month?
Stranger Zero.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Phantom Zero. Phantoms. I haven't had lunch. I haven't had 5 samosas today, so I'm a bit loopy. So
excuse me.
Phantom Stranger Zero. Yeah, that was very good. Clearly, you were taught. You
like
that a lot.
Yeah, I like the fan. Okay, so Phantom Stranger is a character that has been around DC for a very long time. A mystical character who's also mysterious, and he's appeared in many titles to kind of help people at different times. They've given him different origin stories before the revamp. He has been an angel that fell to earth. He has been the wandering Jew. He has been
Judas Iscariot,
and they never said which one of these stories is real or which one is the right one. But in Phantom Stranger number 0, which I think is a jump off point for a Phantom Stranger mini that they want to do.
Yeah,
they
want
to
do a mini.
Right.
Is it an ongoing?
Mini. Okay, well, let's say it's ongoing. They're going to have a Phantom Stranger series. They use the 0 as the jump off point, and so they definitively suggest all the way through that he is Judas Iscariot. We see him brought before the
tribunal of wizards who apparently judge the worst sinners, along with Pandora, who has been the reason for the New 52 revamp, and another guy that we believe is the Question.
Yeah.
And he's basically forced to walk the earth.
What are your thoughts, though, on who the Question is? I mean, Pandora and Judas Iscariot, both characters from mythology or mythology and history as well, and based on what you believe. You got any thoughts on the Question is? No?
No. I have no idea.
I don't think they
haven't given us any clues. Like, he's the only one who doesn't have a clue.
So, that's the Question.
Yes, it's the Question. I'm just some dude. But the Phantom Stranger is basically, so he's been walking the earth in this coat, and he has a lot of mystical powers, but he can't kill himself. He can't seem to stop roaming until he hears a voice from God. We're going to assume it's God, from the creator, from some entity that's bigger than him, that tells him when to go and where to go. And
when he's needed.
When he's needed. And he wears the 30 pieces of silver around his neck. In this story, when he does his first mission, and he completes it successfully, although he doesn't realize what is successful about it, one of those pieces of silver falls off. So we are to understand that he has 29 more missions before he can be released. And it's interesting that his first mission is also an origin story. Somehow he creates the Spectre.
Who originally was a GSA character and who is not on Earth 2, who is actually on Earth 0.
Yeah, and he creates the Spectre, and the Spectre in turn is then to go off, sent by God to enact revenge on others. Although I guess the Spectre wanted to have revenge on the Phantom Stranger, so that's kind of an interesting dynamic between the two. Because before the revamp of the New 52, when Days of Vengeance, as Mark was talking about earlier, when the Spectre goes off, Phantom Stranger is the one that leads a lot of the heroes against him. So it's kind of a nice little... the art was really good. I liked the art. I liked this kind of jump-off story. We didn't learn a lot of new stuff that we hadn't seen before, but it's a nice kind of introduction to the character, which is, you know, what you want to have for a Zero story for new readers. How do you guys rate her? What did you think was interesting about it?
That was a great book. I don't rate the recommendations, but if we had to, I'd give it 3.5. It was decent. Mm-hmm. Nothing groundbreaking or anything.
Yeah, it was a good read.
A good read, yeah.
Another recommendation I want to put out there is Phantom Lady and Doll Man. I read that this week. I thought it was very cool. I'm going to continue reading it. I can't say much else except that it was very cool.
I know, for me, my recommendation would actually be Batwing.
Yeah,
strange enough. I like it.
Was this a Zero?
Yeah.
You read?
Batwing was a Zero for this week. Gives you some background on who Batwing is as a character, you know. Originally, the character debuted, he started out as one of those shadow soldiers in Africa. But he got a chance at rehab, at having a normal life. In a lot of ways, his story kind of parallels Bruce Wayne's.
For those of you who don't know, Batwing is African Batman, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. He's African Batman. He is actually a sponsored
agent of
Batman Inc. So he's getting a lot of his tech and his entire suit.
Yeah, I think a lot of people disliked the idea, but I read the first three and I liked them. I thought they were good.
Well, Batman Inc. or Batwing?
Batwing.
Oh.
Yeah, I am liking Batwing.
I'm skeptical about Batman Inc.
I think it's the lamest idea ever.
Part of the character's whole essence is being a loner.
Yeah, you think, yeah, the Batman Inc. But, you know, I liked it when it happened because it made sense. Otherwise, why
didn't
you have... I loved Dick Grayson as Batman, so that was part of the reason why I liked it. I liked Dick Grayson as Batman a lot.
He was smiling and
it was a cool dynamic because then you had Damian as
the dynamic between him and Damian was cool, but yes, that could have been Nightwing and Damian. I don't want to see him as Batman.
I liked him as Batman. No. I thought it was great.
No.
But Batwing is a good recommendation.
I follow it.
Readers, if you like listeners, if you like Dick Grayson as Batman, tweet us and let us know. Or if you think he should stay as Nightwing, always let us know. I'm just saying, Mark.
But yeah, as an interesting read, it's kind of cool. It's a slightly different take on the whole Batman character. to simplify, he's kind of like a mix between Bruce Wayne and Terry McGinnis from Batman Beyond. And it's set more or less in Africa. So you're seeing a lot of different villains and heroes with these African backgrounds coming up.
The main villain they had, I've forgotten his name, in the first couple of issues was relatively scary enough to be seen as a good villain.
Yeah. So.
All right. Okay. So moving on from DC, we're on to Marvel. I'm going to review Hawkeye number 2 and Gambit number 2 kind of together. These are two series that have really been knocking it out of the park for me, at least, especially Hawkeye, which has the first one. I was like, okay, Hawkeye as an urban hero, that's interesting. But the second one has won me over. So it's Matt Fraction who's writing it, and artist David Aja, or Aja as artist, and Matt Hollingsworth is the colorist. It's important to mention the colorist because the colors in this are very interesting. The whole thing is almost all purple and yellow, or black and white.
It's very minimalist.
It's very minimalist. Yeah. And all the purple and yellows remind you of the colors of Hawkeye's original costume. So the premise for this, if you're not reading Hawkeye, is that what is he like outside of the Avengers? And they basically have him as kind of a urban young dude living in, I assume it looks like he's living in Brooklyn, but
Bed-Stuy,
just for these first two issues, it's been really kind of funny. Like, we have him and Kate is Hawkeye in the Young Avengers, and I really liked her as a character, so they brought her in for this, and they end up she ends up in his world. And a few things that were really kind of fun were the action sequences. There's a nice little sequence where he's shooting an arrow, and we have about 7 or 8 panels where she's talking, and in the amount of time that it takes for her to say "that's cool," he's sent off the arrows.
That was a nice setup. I like that in the comic, just the way they did it. That was cool.
And another thing that I thought was also kind of cool is the fact that the difference between the two characters. They're both been Hawkeye, but she's kind of more smart ass, and he's and she's rich, and she's comfortable in the world that they're in, and he's a little bit more comfortable in the rich world. But it worked really well for the two of them. The action sequences are great. There's entire panels where there's not a lot of talking but a lot of action, but it works. For a villain, for heroes though, they don't seem very upset by the idea of shooting people in the eyes with arrows.
That was intense. I was like, what?
There's one sequence where they, like, she just like shoots the guy in the eyes, and they're like, oh well, they're not dead, they're just blind, so it's okay.
He cripples a dude for life,
and they don't seem bothered. But I mean,
hey, at least it didn't kill him.
but for Avengers, they're not bothered. But there's some really great action sequences. It's really kind of funny.
The book itself feels a little irreverent and light.
Yeah, it's odd, like Mark was saying. I find like Hawkeye is supposed to be the original smartass. He always was giving Cap guff, and now he's getting it from somebody else, and he seems not know to himself.
Yeah, it's very kind of fun dynamic to have him out. I don't know if they're going to keep Kate around, but I hope that they do.
I hope they do too.
The artwork on this is so great. I think a lot of people are going to walk by and be like, why am I going to buy a Hawkeye book? But it's irreverent, it's funny.
I'm glad it didn't say unconventional. I'm glad it didn't say the traditional superhero route with this book.
Yeah.
I like how we get almost like a Deadpool-esque look at the Hawkeye's.
Don't go Deadpool.
Well, it's not as wacky.
It's not as wacky, but it's almost.
They have
like
a newspaper down, and the headline on the newspaper is everything awful. Oh God, somebody do something.
I have that as a comment here too. I'm like, I like the headline is everything awful. Oh God, somebody do something.
That was brilliant.
I'm like, what are we supposed to do with this?
What was funny for me is when the guy, when the ringmaster was talking, Hawkeye was like, he saw his thought balloon, not, he saw his word balloon saying, he saw what Hawkeye was really thinking, was saying, like, what did he say, it was like French, okay, like, oh, maybe some Italian too, and that was really funny.
Yeah,
it was funny. I'm vaguely insulting, but I let it go. I let it go as his point of view. This is what his thinking here.
He saw a ringmaster talking a foreign language, and all he saw was like, oh, maybe he's talking some Italian. Oh, it's French too.
I like that they reference a lot of things that happened before, because the Ringmaster is a villain that we've seen before versus Avengers and the X-Men. and the swordsman as well, and they bring both of them in.
It made him a lot more dangerous and aggressive.
Yeah, it was cool. So we have Hawkeye as the arch in urban city, and
then all really human works scenes though.
Yeah. It works.
I love
it.
Works.
It totally
gets,
works.
He gets hurt. He's always bandaged. He's not superhuman at all.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very even. I mean, even regular Avengers book, you know, he's a human, but he does these crazy, impossible things. He seems very.
In the first issue, he ended up in the hospital.
He still has those giant King Kong balls to make those action calls. It'll get him hurt, but he'll get the job done.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Hawkeye has giant King Kong balls. Right. And speaking of giant King Kong balls, we start about the Gambit series as well. This is also another series where they take a character who's usually seen in an ensemble and just pull them out and kind of deal with what makes the character interesting. So we're at Gambit number 2. In the first series, in the first issue, he went to rob a man, Boya Sich, who works with several supervillains. And keeps supervillain kind of paraphernalia at his house, so Gambit decides to steal all of it using his credentials as a Jean Grey school teacher to get into this gala. And he just wants to steal stuff because he wants to steal stuff. And at the end of issue one, one of the artifacts, supervillain artifacts, seems to be some kind of symbiote. It kind of digs itself into Gambit's side. Like a giant starfish, and he can't get it out. So this issue, he's trying to remove it, and he has his fence, whose name is Fence, trying to cut it out of him. And I really like the opening sequence because Fence is this guy who has like all this stuff that he's gotten from thieves. He doesn't know how to use all of it, but he just like tries to anyway. So he has like a Wi-Fi built into his brain. He's got cybernetics, and he just pulls out this medical saw, and he's like gonna cut into Gambit's stomach with this saw. So the issue goes off from there. Gambit has this thing in his side, he can't get it out, so he needs to steal some other stuff to try and remove it. And so we have another heist, a really good action sequence in a museum where the femme fatale from the last issue shows up. And there's a really great sequence when she tries to kill Gambit and he retaliates by running her over with a car. And
she didn't think it was going to happen.
And she didn't think he was going to hit her, and he just kept going. She's like, pull over, and he's like, bam! And keeps going. And she's like, you hit me with a car. And he's like, yeah, so. And it finishes off with them having to join up and go off to Guatemala. And you would think that a series about Gambit would be the last thing that you want to read. I would probably go in the opposite direction, even though I like the character.
I was going to say I hate Remy in general. I'm not a fan.
I know a lot of people don't like him. I do like him, but the idea of him carrying the whole thing, I was like, eh. But I have really liked both of these issues. They're funny. There's a lot of good action sequences. They're exploring the things that make the character interesting while getting rid of things that don't really work. So they don't have him in Rogue, which is kind of refreshing.
He doesn't sound Cage anymore.
It's still there.
It's still there, but it's not overt. It's not overt.
They did use Rogue, and that was one of the things that really bugged me about the character. It got too heavy.
Yeah. I loved it though. I would read it and I talk that way for his lines. It was funny.
I liked it for Rogue. I didn't like it for him.
Yeah. This series, everything about it. Like the first issue, I thought that the art was good, the drawing was really good, but the coloring and inks didn't work, and they were very kind of washy and ethereal. And this one, it's like more realistic, and it kind of works for the art. And so, yeah, I think this was definitely something you should like pick up. I enjoyed it.
I liked this book, but then it disappointed me because it has a very Thomas Crown Affair type feel to it,
mm-hmm.
and what I actually would prefer does not see any powers being used at all. The use of the powers kind of took me out of the story, especially the symbiote thing in his side. I hate that part.
It's a superhero book, man.
Yeah, I know, but the story doesn't suit the story. It works so much better if you take all that superhero aspect.
But he's
Gambit.
I know, but
it would actually be unnatural for Gambit not to use.
I know, but if you took out that whole artifact in his side, okay, well, you can keep the powers, although I don't need that either. To me, it would read as a better story. I love the whole international field where they're going to Guatemala, track down these...
But the thing in his side is a MacGuffin, right? It's just something to, like, carry the story along.
Is it, or is it going to be a bigger part? But I don't even need it. I don't need it at all. It could have been just a statue or something.
I don't have a problem with that. We have to figure out what the
I have a big problem with it, but other than that, his story was very good and I like it a lot.
Yeah,
I wouldn't read a Gambit at all before.
Same.
I only picked this up based on, I think, Mark's recommendation. I have a red issue one. I already read issue 2 and I like it a lot.
Well, the issues are, they have been very good. The story thus far, it's only 2 issues in, but it has been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I like this take on Gambit as a character. He always seemed, as a part of the X-Men, very sidelinish, I guess. But it's good to see him. It's good to find out more about who the man Remy is. You know, what drives him, what motivates him. But they're still, you know, making an effort to tie into to the ongoing continuity. So he's still a teacher at the Jean Grey School. But, you know, this is what he does when he's not there. You know.
Well, I think they said kind of indicated that he had gone on board, and so he needs something to do. And that's the only thing I had a problem with. I'm like, well, this
really?
Kind of silly
think
premise,
kind of
but I can't deal with that. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And James Asmus is writing it, and I think he has a really good take on the character. He's made him funny, he's kind of made it sexy, you know, he's all the things that people like about Gambit, so I will keep reading this for a while.
So let me read it.
I'll go through at least this the rest of this storyline, mm-hmm. and if they can keep me past the storyline, then
it's an ongoing or a mini?
It's an ongoing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I give both Gambit and Hawkeye number two, 4 for each of them. I enjoyed them both.
Yeah, about that. 4.
I give Hawkeye a 5, I give Gambit a 4. I give Gambit a 4.5 because of the MacGuffin. that stuff, yeah.
I give Hawkeye a 4.5 and Gambit a 4.
Wow, you guys are rating it higher than I love them.
I give Hawkeye
a
4.5.
I'm sure that if Gambit was written by Jeff Johns, he'd love it.
It would have been awesome. It would have been awesome.
Only thing better is if Gambit was written by Jeff Johns and he had Superman cape.
that is my dream book right there. That would be awesome.
I think my surprise at how good Hawkeye is part of why I rated it so highly. I didn't expect much from it.
It's really
a lot better than I expected.
Really,
but as the those, I think it was Matt Fraction and David Ahad that wrote that did Iron Fist, his last run, the initial run, and that was very, very good. And nothing but read that, so I had high hopes for this book.
Actually, Matt Fraction, I was talking to Mark about it on the car right over. I actually started catching up. Like laugh from last night.
I'll give you a location, Mark, or a secret volcano location.
Well, it was a car race, the plane, then.
Right.
But I actually started reading Invisible Iron Man, series 5, and it's written by the same guy, Matt Fraction.
Okay.
And it's been very, very engrossing, you know.
Well, Fraction's also writing Defenders, which has an Iron Man. And he was writing X-Men as well.
But Defenders got cancelled, which is kind of sad.
Well, yeah, if we want to talk about that quickly, Defenders, which is not finished yet, is getting cancelled. And I think that's really unfortunate.
Every time it's happened, my bitter impression has always been to demean the comic book reading audience and said, you just don't get it. Defenders has been always, to me, a great book. It's been offbeat, unusual, a great collection of characters, really powerful collection of characters, and I just don't get why it fails all every time.
I don't know. I haven't been consistently following Defenders, to be honest. I did pick up the first couple issues and I didn't like it. I actually liked it a lot. I like that this is a team with people like Red She-Hulk and.
But that's the problem.
And,
you know, it doesn't have any A-listers on it, really.
Doctor Strange is A-list.
He's not A-list. I would love him to be A-list, but he's not.
He's A-list
in.
Well, they're all Avengers.
He's A-list in story, but he's not A-list for readers. That's the difference.
They're all Avengers. Or ex-Avengers.
The actor with the crazy teeth.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi is one of the best actors anywhere, but he's never played a leading man, and they probably never will.
He's not.
Well, a lot of people, the Defenders, as I said, I think earlier on the Outcast Underground Facebook group, the Defenders has had three. This is the third series now, and they had 2 good runs before. But I think part of it's what we're talking about. They're not super gorgeous, and they're not the A-list, and they're not, you know.
And
they tend also to deal with kind of more
obscure
supernatural kind of villains, and so that's part of the reason probably why people aren't as interested in them. But
I shake my fist at you people.
Yeah, Defenders was so funny and so interesting, and I'm
but
really
it's
sorry.
Really, be same guy,
but Matt Fraction, yeah, it's being written, it's not finished yet, but I think he has 2 more issues before it gets cut. So
If you get the 12 issues that are out, you should probably pick them up. It's Iron Fist, Doctor Strange, Red She-Hulk, Namor, and they're fighting all kinds of villains, and it's just really funny, and the art's really interesting, and it's unfortunate that got
no one on that list is a lightweight. I mean, these are
seriously powerful characters. Surfer is on it. Yeah, they're super powered, but people just not interested. The first issue started off with Doctor Strange in bed with some girl that he didn't know, which was interesting, and She-Hulk trying to like pick a fight with all kinds of things, and I was just like, this, it's unfortunate. So that's getting canceled. Too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Okay. Well. Is that our last good guys?
Yeah.
Unless you want to talk about Deadpool 60.
I don't want to talk about Deadpool 60. No, I don't. No. What was it?
Have you seen the have you seen the previews for the new Deadpool book?
Book?
It's gonna be getting revamped with Marvel now.
I actually don't.
It's gonna get start at one again.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he still pretty or
I don't know if they're going to keep him without his powers or not. I don't know how the revamp's going to go yet.
No, I'm not a huge Deadpool fan, really.
I'm not a Deadpool fan at all.
I don't read tons of it, but I enjoy what I read. I like the just complete silliness of the character.
Oh, speaking of silly guys, the Robot Chicken DC special is on tonight. You can check that out. Or if you got downloaded or whatever, I don't know.
I'm not a huge Robot Chicken fan.
Oh no, I saw those clips. They were hilarious. The trails were hilarious.
It's been getting a lot of push. I mean,
it was hilarious. I have to watch that for sure. I watch that tomorrow.
Last week's Aquaman had his whole Robot Chicken special cover.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
that was cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, that is the end of our reviews, guys. As usual, if you want to shout us out or give us any suggestions or ask any questions, you can tweet us at Outsiders Comics. You can also check out our Facebook page, Outsiders Comic Book Underground. Or you can check out our podcast, which you're listening to now, at outsiders.blogspot. What is our
Outsiders
Comic Book. Outsiders Comic Book.
Right, .blogspot.com. Or and you can subscribe via iTunes. Get your new comics on Wednesdays, guys, and we'll see you back here next week. And I will make sure I have something to eat.
Next
podcast, I'm sure to eat. So we'll see you then, guys. Have a good one. Hey guys, this is the Outsiders Comic Book Underground podcast for Monday, September the 10th. Sorry. Our show today, spinning out of a conversation we had, is called I forgot. I can't remember what we call it. I have a time travel issue. Right.
Clearly you're having an issue right
now. This is the Outsiders Comic Book Underground podcast for Monday. I forgot to do it again. September 10th. Let me react. Can you
anybody got a pen? I'm sweet. Wade has been drinking.
Hey guys, this is the Outsiders Comic Book Underground podcast for Monday, September 10th. I am Wade, but before Sally, here with
Khalil Goodman. Your book flapping is what I pick up. She's on my
side. It's like a voice actor. I'm sorry, we can hear it.
Again. Hey guys, this is the Outsiders Comic Book Underground podcast for September Monday. This is ridiculous. Hi guys.